do this because now we can take the reporter's pen away from them and we can control our own voice. And this is what Jaylen Brown did. Fuck Stephen A, B, and C.
It's wrong, but I hate this. I hate with a passion when people that are that have real powerful platforms take their platform and they seem like they only say something negative.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the special edition of Straight Shooter, coming at you as I love to do at least a couple times a week over the YouTube digital airwaves. Obviously, this is not my regular political show that comes on every Wednesday night on SiriusXM POTUS Radio, channel 124. But nevertheless, it's under the Straight Shooter Media umbrella. And so I like to do touch on a couple of things, sort of getting used to have like this week in review kind of thing going on. And obviously, the stuff that's going on with Jaylen Brown for the Boston Celtics of the National Basketball Association has taken on a life of its own. And so we've got folks all over the place commenting about what he had to say about me, what I've had to say about him, and all of this other stuff. I think it's significant. It's not much ado about nothing, but I definitely think stuff is being misconstrued. So I'm here to reel it all in and to get to a bigger subject, because a few people out there are saying what they have to say. And I think that they're taking stuff out of context and using it as an opportunity to get into a broader issue that really evades what I'm trying to say and what I was trying to say in this particular situation. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Let me remind you of what transpired. Jaylen Brown is an all-world player. Jaylen Brown was one of the top five candidates for league MVP honors. I would know because I'm one of the 100 people in this country who have a vote. And he was one of the top five MVP candidates, and he deserved it. I remember going off and raising holy hell when the Boston Celtics went into San Antonio and Jaylen Brown was ejected by this official because some bogus call, there's no call that it should have been a foul called on against somebody that had pushed Jaylen Brown into a front row seat. It wasn't called. He argues with the official, and the official gave him a tech, but even though Jaylen Brown was complaining, he was walking away, and then another official that had nothing to do with the play comes and ejects him from the game. And I was furious about that because he was the top two MVP candidate. It was him. It was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And it was Victor Wembanyama at the time. And Jaylen Brown had back-to-back games. First against Wembanyama. I believe it was on a Tuesday, if I remember correctly. And then that game was going to be on a Thursday night against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I felt that if Jaylen Brown had won both games and he had outplayed both of them in both games, he would have ascended to the lead for league MVP honors. And so I came to his defense about that, as I had on several occasions over other things. Nevertheless, the season went on. Ultimately, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander would win league MVP, even though Jaylen Brown didn't know it at the time. He was playing in the first round of the playoffs for the Boston Celtics. And Jason Tatum was out for the first 60-some-odd games or so. Jaylen Brown was leading the Boston Celtics as the go-to guy, as the number one option. And he had shocked the world because when most of us thought that Boston wouldn't do anything this year, he had propelled them to the number two seed in the Eastern Conference. And props to him for doing so. But nevertheless, the playoffs arrived, and Jason Tatum would ultimately go down in the playoffs and not be able to play in a pivotal game seven. The Boston Celtics had gone up 3-1 in the first round series against the Philadelphia 76ers. Before ultimately losing games 5, 6, and 7 to the Philadelphia 76ers, thereby becoming the first Boston Celtics team in franchise history to blow a 3-1 postseason lead. Within 24 hours, Jaylen Brown was on Twitch, his social media platform, saying the words that this was his favorite season. And me and an abundance of other people in the media took issue with that. It's not the objective to win. You're a champion. You're a finals MVP who had been to 2 NBA finals and 6 conference finals in your career. And getting bounced out in the first round after being the first Boston Celtics team in franchise history, a franchise that has more championships than any basketball franchise in basketball annals with 18. You're telling us that that was your favorite season, getting bounced out in the first round after giving up a 3-1 lead? That's not good. It's not good at all. And so because of that, myself, Mike Wilbon, Jay Williams, Kendrick Perkins, Brian Windhorst, and others over a course of a couple of days, we lamented the fact that he said that. Talked about how it was unwise. Talked about how the specter of him wanting to be the bus driver and how that appeared to be more important than winning was something that wasn't wise for him to say and admit. Not to mention the fact that if you're Jason Tatum, the star of the team, how are you supposed to feel when you're out because of your injury and this brother is saying this was his favorite season? I thought it was me covering basketball. Jaylen Brown felt differently. Here's what Jaylen Brown had to say.
Fuck Stephen A. Stephen A, Stephen B, Stephen C. Like, my offer still stands. You want me to be quiet and stop streaming? Well, I want you to be quiet and get off these networks, because you're not using your platform to do real journalism. Using your platform to use clickbait.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't need to show video of what I said in response to that, because I'll say it to you here again. First things first. If Jaylen Brown was responding to me suggesting that he be quiet, I accept fuck Stephen A, B, and C. Because I misspoke. This was no Laura Ingraham from Fox News or something like that telling them to shut up and dribble. What I was saying was that right there, what you're saying, yo, bro, y'all lost. You out of the playoffs. You don't need to be saying anything right now about how this was your favorite season. That's all I was talking about. I was in no way implying that he shouldn't speak his piece and live his life. I didn't mean for it to come off that way. That's what I thought was clear, but clearly it was not. So fine. I'll own that. But I stand by everything I said in terms of what I meant to say. You're a champion and an NBA Finals MVP. If you are saying that a season in which you got bounced out in the first round after losing a 3-1 lead is your favorite season, that's not good. Look at the Boston, the headlines in the city of Boston. Listen to talk radio in the city of Boston. Listen to Celtics fans everywhere. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to watch Philly against the Knicks in the second round. They wanted that to be them. They didn't want to watch the Knicks against Cleveland in the conference finals. They wanted that to be them. And they don't want to hear one of their stars making over $300 million saying, this was my favorite season, when instead of being on a basketball court, he's on Twitch. They don't want to hear that. That's what I'm saying. But nevertheless, that is all that folks needed to get at me. So I decided that I'm going to respond to a few people. Come right back at them and address them head on my own platform. I'm not going to do it with everybody. But will Kwame Brown be one of them? Yes, it will. Wait for it. It's coming. But before I get to Kwame Brown, before I get to Rashad McCants of Gil's Arena, no, I'm not going to get to other people in our business, because in our business, I have no patience for that nonsense. See, if you're a player and you're not in this industry and you didn't come up in this industry, I got you. I'll explain. I'm not explaining to people in this business because you're full of shit. If you act like you don't know where I'm coming from, because you know what we do for a living. And you know the minefields that we have to maneuver our way through, whether it's the newsroom, you know, a producer's room, editing room, or anything like that. You know what comes with this. You're just trying to have an impact to get clicks. Shut the hell up. I'm not addressing people in our industry because they're full of it. Notice I don't talk about my industry like that. I don't talk about contemporaries who do what I do on other networks and stuff like that. And some of them should be quiet. Especially considering the representation that you have and the connections that you have and the kind of people you associate yourself with, which can easily be labeled a conflict of interest, but I'm going to leave it alone. I ain't going to even tell y'all who it is because they ain't worth it. They ain't worth it to me no more. Okay? I tried to help them in the past and stuff. Forget all that. It's okay. Instead, I'm going to stick to these few individuals that I want to address, specifically because of what they said. We gonna go to Mace first. Mr. Mace himself, rap mogul extraordinaire. You understand? With the Is What It Is podcast with my boy Cameron, who's been doing a great job on First Take on ESPN the last couple of Tuesdays, by the way. I'm gonna bring him back throughout the playoffs, because he's done a hell of a job. But that's neither here nor there. His partner, Mace, from the Is What It Is podcast, took the liberty of addressing yours truly about what I said with regards to Jaylen Brown. Listen to the one and only Mace himself. Here it is.
And I'm not against Stephen A. I'm not for Jaylen Brown, if he's doing something crazy. I'm one of those people, right is right and wrong is wrong, but I hate this. I hate with a passion when people that have real powerful platforms take their platform and it seems like they only say something negative about this person. Like they're creating the narrative about this person. And that's how Jaylen Brown feels. I understand that. I often spoke about this. Me and Charlamagne been good since then, but there was a time when I felt like every time he got a chance to speak about me, it was going to be something negative. And that's when you personally feel about somebody. And you tell me, Stat, when you were trained in journalism, are you supposed to feel a certain way about a person and that spew out through your journalism?
No.
Yes, no, not at all. That's not good journalism. And I'm not going to say that he's doing bad journalism, but that's how it begins to come across to Jaylen Brown, right? Because he's like, why you can't say nothing good about me? Am I not the light-skinned player on the team? Is that why you can't give me the credit?
Couple of things. First of all, respectfully, Mace, you don't hear me critiquing hip-hop artists and how they do their job, because I ain't qualified. My brother, when it comes to journalism, you're not qualified to critique me like that. Because first things first, you are incredibly inaccurate. Number one, Jaylen Brown and I don't have a beef. So what? He got emotional. Fuck Stephen A, B, and C. So what? You didn't hear him say anything about me over the last 2 years because we didn't have an issue over the last 2 years. When he had an issue with me, it was because I reported, I got a text on the air where somebody in the know that it was confirmed by two other individuals that it was absolutely true, that Jaylen Brown, who is a brilliant brother and a tremendous player, whose resume warrants attraction from Madison Avenue and beyond, wasn't getting those things because he wasn't liked, because he was perceived as difficult to deal with. That's reporting. Now, for some people that want to say, well, you know what? Who's your source? Because remember, he wore the T-shirt saying, state your source, state your source. It's right there. Remember all of that? People report on the White House. Do they tell their sources? People report on the Supreme Court. Do they tell their sources? People report on Wall Street. Do they tell their sources? People report on industries throughout America. They don't reveal their source. Why? Because you'll never get the information. Are you going to sit up here with a straight face, Mace, and say you've never been a source for somebody that's licensed to disseminate information? You never said anything off the record. You never said a thing to a soul that said, look, man, don't quote me. You've never done. Now, I'm not saying I know that to be true, because I don't know. Maybe you did. I'm just saying, if you didn't do it yourself, you certainly are aware of the fact that that has happened before. Not to bring up P. Diddy in any kind of negative connotation or anything like that, because he's got enough problems. But the fact of the matter is that when you see the documentaries on him and things of that nature, you know that he had sources. You know that he had people that he could reach out to and disseminate information in his spin. What I'm trying to say to you is that because you're from that world, Mace, and you're experienced in that world, you know that happens. Why all of a sudden that it happens in the world of sports reporting, is it foreign? Because I can assure you, the person stacking, I don't know who you were talking to because I couldn't see it on camera, and I apologize for that. I assure you that the person that you was asking about journalism doesn't have 30 plus years of experience like I do. They haven't had a history of breaking stories the way that I've broken stories. I didn't just get on First Take running my mouth. There is a reporting resume that I have, New York Daily News, Philadelphia Inquirer, beat writer, college writer, NBA writer, NBA columnist, general sports columnist. Before the advent of social media and YouTube and all of this other stuff, 20 people came before me as general sports columnists in this nation's history. 20. I'm number 21. And we're going to ask somebody that I can't see on camera to critique what real journalism is? My brother, you got my number. All you have to do is call and ask. I'd have told you. So let's get that part out of the way first. My point is, I'm not bringing you up, P. Diddy up, or anything like that in any kind of negative fashion, because I got love and respect for you. What I'm saying to you, Mace, is that all I'm trying to point out is you have been around people who have at least been a source to scribes, pundits, people, members of the Fourth Estate, which is journalism. You've been around people who we all know have utilized the media over the years. So don't act like you didn't know that, number one. Number two, Jaylen Brown, what did I say about him? Go back and look at the tapes. What I said about Jaylen Brown back then is, I don't feel this way about him. I think he's worthy. I think he's a star in this league. I think they're castrating him. I don't like that. He doesn't deserve that. But this is what they're saying. And he was stuck on, tell us your source, tell us your source, because he wanted the world to know who said that about him. I can't do that. So it wasn't really his problem with me, because everybody brought up the fact that we sat down and talked with one another. He acknowledged his problem was not with me. Right there in that footage, when I went to Boston just to interview him, his problem was not with me. His problem was, who said that to you? Who are they? And if you are not going to tell us who they are, then you have a responsibility not to disseminate that information. Fair. Here's the problem. It's backed up by a couple of things. Jaylen Brown turned down over $50 million in endorsement deals from major sneaker companies to pursue full ownership and creative control of his own brand, 741. Since his endorsement contract with Adidas ended in 2021, Brown had been something of a sneaker-free agent, quietly developing 741. His philosophy on partnerships is equally deliberate. Brown has said most of his deals are done, quote, on my terms, requiring creative input contributions to his foundation and no clauses allowing termination if he speaks out publicly. Terms, he says, standard contracts rarely offered. His first major endorsement deal, signed in late 2025, was with Oakley, described as a multi-year collaboration blending innovation, sports style, and eyewear with plans to integrate with his 741 brand. His current known endorsements include Beats by Dre, his own 741 brand, and Pepsi. Is that enough for reporting? What I talked about was before that happened. Or during it happening. And what was the impetus that I brought up, Mace? Team USA was in Paris. It's in Paris. Jaylen Brown was in the finals a couple of years earlier. He was in conference finals. He'd ultimately win an NBA championship. Are you sitting down for this, Mace? The brother is a perennial better than 22, 23 point per game scorer as the second option on the Boston Celtics. It's Jason Tatum first and then him before Jason Tatum went down. Drew Holiday and Derek White, along with Jason Tatum, were all picked for the Olympic team ahead of Jaylen Brown. Does that sound like somebody that's liked to you? Does that sound like that's somebody that's appreciated to you? What I said correlated and fell right in line with that reality. Go back on the airwaves, Google me, look it up, and see what I said. I defended him. What are y'all talking about? What negativity, Mace? What negativity? And then you slide in the line is a light skin, like you falling for that Kwame Brown stuff, who I'll get to in just a second. Just a few minutes. Where it's like, oh, he ain't light enough or whatever. So it implies that I'm coming after the brothers. I've been covering the NBA for 30 years, bro. You know how many friends I have in the NBA? You really falling for that okie doke and you thinking you falling for that line that all of these brothers can't stand me? Really? They don't even have any idea how many friends I have in the league. They have no clue. Because why is that something that you broadcast? But the fact of the matter is, how about things that I've said publicly? I know that the name LeBron is going to come up and Stephen A's hating on LeBron. You mean the guy I call the second greatest player in the history of basketball? You mean the guy that I said belongs on the Mount Rushmore of basketball? You mean the guy that I say religiously has been a great ambassador for the game of basketball, who we will all miss when he's gone because he is simply one of the most fantastic players we have ever seen in our lifetime? You mean that guy? Michael Jordan? I call him the GOAT. Is he white? Somebody asked me, would I rather have KD or Larry Bird? I said, KD all day, every day. I call Tim Duncan the greatest power forward that ever lived. My all-time greatest fighter was Muhammad Ali. My second was Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Serena Williams is my GOAT in tennis, who I believe belongs on the Mount Rushmore of all of sports. Artists, Jay-Z, Nas, LL, Public Enemy. I guess they white, huh? Basketball, Kobe, Steph Curry, the greatest shooter God ever created. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? I comment on what people do, not who they are, because I came into the industry before the advent of social media and beyond, where they weren't focused on what people did. And instead, they tried to get all in your business and talk about who y'all were. I didn't do that. I get into your performance on the court or field of play. Your private life, as long as you ain't in the police blotters, ain't none of my business. That's me. That has always been me. When I talk about artists, I go old school. It's Luther Vandross. It's the Isley Brothers. It's Teddy Pendergrass. It's the Four Tops, the Temptations. You know, it could be Joe. It could be Trey Songz. I think that Chris Brown might be the greatest entertainer since Michael Jackson. What's all of this hating on black folks? Don't you notice and don't y'all pay attention that for every black person I criticize, I big up 10 black people? Have you not been paying attention? Even with you, Mace. You see, Mace, I don't know, but I sense what's going on. And I'm here to tell you something right now, brother. This is not a criticism. Your heart's in the right place. Because I know how big you are into the church. And God has blessed you with a level of consciousness that I think is incredibly important for all of us to have. I applaud you, bro. I do. But because your heart might be in that place, is it possible that you're seeing negativity where negativity really doesn't exist? We're just talking, in this case, sports. You say personal animus between me and Jaylen Brown. Go find the tape. We disagreed on this particular issue because he was home in the first round. And 24 hours after getting bounced out in the first round, he called it his favorite season. That's a problem for the Boston Celtics. That's a problem for Boston Celtics fans. How would I know? Why don't you read? Look up what's going on in Massachusetts. Listen to what they're saying on talk radio. Oh, by the way, Mace, I'm not making it up because numerous stations called me to interview me. I just haven't had the time because they were disgusted at what he said. That's how I would know. This is my industry. You don't see me commenting much about hip hop because my brother, that's not my lane. That's your lane. This is mine. I kind of know this. What comes with sports reporting? So let me leave that alone. And just say to you, your heart's in the right place. I get it. I understand it. I just think you're misinformed because there is no negative history with me and Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown, the first negative thing he said about me was state your source. It was when he said, fuck Stephen A, B, and C. State your source ain't negativity. Sitting in front of me and telling me, yo, I think with your platform, you got to be responsible enough to do what? Tell you my source? That's not going to happen. When all the evidence points to what my sources told me about you in terms of your endorsement deals, Team USA, Oakley, and beyond. does not negate the fact that despite feuds with Nike, let it not get lost on us that you spoke up for Kyrie Irving, which was a worthy thing to do. Let's not forget the fact that there's an authenticity and a consistency to the voice of Jaylen Brown that is to be admired. We just disagreed about this, and I believe he overreacted. But that's just my opinion. But that's the only issue we ever had. Y'all thinking that was an issue a couple of years ago. It was an issue because of what somebody told me that I reported on, not because of what I said about him. Because if you look at what I said about him, I have always religiously applauded Jaylen Brown. And by the way, I will continue to do so because he's a good brother. We just disagree on what he did 24 hours after getting bounced out in the first round. If that's y'all definition of beef, I would respectfully call y'all a liar, because y'all know what a real beef is. And you know that really doesn't qualify. It's not a beef. Jaylen Brown can speak to me. He can choose not to speak to me. He can overreact to it. I have nothing against him. I just disagree with him being on the air 24 hours after getting bounced out in the first round, saying that was his favorite season, thinking that Jason Tatum wouldn't look at that some sort of way or anything else. That's where I'm coming from. But I'm around. Ain't nobody hiding. Appreciate you broaching the subject. That's all I have to say about it from now, from your angle. Let me get to Rashad McCants from Gil's Arena and what he had to say. Check this out, y'all.
I never understood how somebody can tell someone else what's disrespectful to them. How can you tell me what's disrespectful to me? I didn't disrespect. Yes, you did. I just told you you did. You disrespected me. You can say I didn't mean to disrespect you. You can say that wasn't my intention to disrespect you. But you can't tell me that I wasn't disrespected. You disrespected me, bro. So the fact that Stephen A. gets back on the show to corroborate all the fucking rocks that he threw, I just see too many people doing this type of shit. Like, there are people throwing rocks at me. But then when I throw the rock back, it's like, I didn't expect you to throw a fucking mountain. He said what he said. You said what you said. Leave it at that. You did. We have platforms now that we can say what we want to say now. You don't control the narrative no more, bro. You can't control the narrative no more. The athlete can say what they want to say now. That's been the freedom that we've all been talking about with the athletes having the podcast after the games. Melo said it. Hey, I'm glad that we can do this because now we can take the reporter's pen away from them and we can control our own voice. And this is what Jaylen Brown did. Fuck Stephen A, B, and C.
Oh, my goodness. Rashad McCants, first of all, Gil's Arena. Several things he's missing in all of this. But before I say that, let me give y'all incredibly bad news when it comes to Rashad McCants. I actually like that brother. I really do. Not how rough he sounds and all that stuff. An authentic brother who honestly has been good to my family. I like Rashad. And I respect all of those brothers on Gil's Arena. You know, Kenya Martin, I still am flustered at what he said. He had to check me one day many, many years ago because I was speaking against him, because anybody that knows me knows I've never spoken against Kenyon Martin. Kenyon Martin's a rough rider. Kenyon Martin, and the Nets wasn't going no damn finals without Kenyon Martin. Kenyon Martin is the number one overall pick coming out of Cincinnati. Shh. He was that dude. He was that dude. And if them knees never, oh my Lord, y'all don't know what he would have done. Kenyon Martin was that brother, special. Defense, intimidation, didn't back down from nobody. He that dude, he a real one. And all of them do a good job. They really do. I like Rashad McCants. So believe it or not, when people text me and send me the video, I smiled. I saw no offense to what, I took no offense to what he said. Sometimes I wish he'd say stuff differently because I wish he'd realize his own potential and understanding that if he learned to say things a little bit differently, sometimes he'd be far more marketable and he could really, really do some things. But everybody got to go their own path and do what they want to do. So I'll stick to this particular issue and get down to the nuts and bolts of it. When Rashad McCann sits up there and says, you know, you don't control the narrative no more, bro. Okay. Well, then why is everybody always commenting off the shit I have to say? It's just a question. You don't have to. You could ignore me. You don't have to comment. Everybody got to comment. Should I spray perfume on me, people acting like I pass gas? And vice versa. I mean, damn. That's number one. Number two. Rashad McCants, let me help you out, my brother. Not controlling the narrative. If you look it up, you'll find that when, as Draymond Green would say, the new media came on board, with all of y'all having y'all podcasts and YouTube shows and YouTube channels, you'd be hard-pressed to find a bigger proponent and supporter of y'all than me. Because I've always abhorred the fact that the black athlete didn't have members of the media who happen to be black to lean on by and large. Remember, I come from old school days where there's 1,600 plus newspapers throughout this country. And only 20 to 21 of us had a license to express our opinions. We were at the mercy of white America and the white establishment when it came to media. So when you had these athletes maneuvering their way through the terrain in an effort to gain a voice, I was one of the dudes that sat front and center and did it and supported and tried to spearhead the movement to facilitate athletes getting these kind of opportunities. I do it now. I'm not the sole reason. There's plenty of cats who helped along the way. Hell, Skip Bayless initiated it, but you see me over First Take over the last decade plus. How many black people been on the show? How many black people have been hired as contributors to the show? How many black people have been on the network? How many black producers and executives have been behind the scenes? Ask them what role I played. Why is that relevant, Rashad? I'll tell you why. It's relevant, sir, because there are a myriad of ways to influence the narrative, most of which you don't even know. Because it ain't just about what I say in front of the camera. It's about what goes on behind it. It's about the sponsors and advertisers you got to deal with. It's about the editors and producers who have a say in what gets disseminated. It's about the talent that's handpicked to appear on the air to do such things. In other words, you don't know what I control or don't control. I'm not saying I control anything. I'm saying you don't know. You don't know. But I'm going to take it a step further than that. The reason I brought up how I was one of the people who supported and was a proponent of cats having their own platform. It's twofold. One is what I said about cats having their own voices and their own platforms. But the part you missed is how much easier that makes life for people like me. See, once upon a time, we had to go in the locker room. We had to go to the games. And we had to be in front of your faces. Don't you remember, Rashad, how frustrating it was for you as an athlete at the University of North Carolina and ultimately in the NBA? I'm talking about from a peripheral perspective, to know of people who always had something to say about players, about coaches, about teams, and you damn near would never see them. Wasn't it frustrating? Who said that about Stephen A? I spent 20 plus years going to at least 120 games a year, preseason, regular season, playoffs, finals. 20 plus years, always in the locker room, always courtside, always traveling. People saw my face. People see me. If they had something to say, I was right there to be said. When you were on the podcast and y'all got into how LeBron stepped to me and all of this other stuff, my point with LeBron, not to bring him up, and I'm not being negative here. I'm over that. I'm fine. I hope he's well. I'm doing well. I hope he's doing well. But I bring him up to say, if he really wanted to have a conversation with me, and talk to me, all he had to do was reach out. I'd have got on the first flight to LA, and I'd have met him face to face wherever he wanted to. But he picked in the middle of the third quarter of a game while I'm sitting courtside, and I have no way to respond to do that. That's it. Nothing more. So when you talk, Rashad, about Jaylen Brown and how Jaylen Brown is his own man and he's feeling disrespected, respectfully, bruh, I would ask this question, and I'm asking this question to Mace, and it is what it is podcast. I'm asking it to you and your whole crew on Gil's Arena, who I respect. Y'all know that. Y'all know I got love for y'all. I ask y'all a simple question that, as a personal favor to me, without volleying insults and all of this other nonsense, just a personal favor to me, I ask this of everyone. How would you like sports to be covered? This is a serious question that needs to be broached. Let me spend 60 seconds giving you an example of how y'all come across as if of how you want me to cover sports. Jaylen Brown gets knocked out of the playoffs after being up 3-1. Damn, I feel so bad for him. He worked so hard. What a tremendous effort. Bravo to him. Continued success, my man. You gave it your all. Props to you. You're a wonderful dude, man. Great. That's what y'all want? James Harden goes on the court, and Jalen Brunson giving it to him on 6 or 7 separate possessions. The way we talk basketball, especially you, Rashad, especially you. You want me to go out there and go like this? Yeah, man, you know. James Harden just had a rough night, man. We got to have sympathy for the brother. He'll come back better next game. Or do you want me to say, yo, Jaylen gave it to his ass? I mean, we talking basketball. Damn, did you see how he blew by him to the left? He blew by him to the right. See the spin move? See the pull-up three right in his face? I mean, damn, James Harden looked demoralized. Which one you want? You see, Rashad, I know you wouldn't tell me to do the former. You with a bat with spikes or whatever the hell it is coming out of it. You with the crown on your head. You would encourage me to just be positive no matter what, as opposed to real about what we saw happen before our very eyes. Is that what you suggested, Rashad? Because I can pull up some clips now. Are you talking about players and their performance? We're talking sports. It's not people's personal lives. We're talking the game. You know that. I know that. So let's keep it a buck. Do you really, really want me to come on the air and mumble him like my dog Shaq? You know, you just got to get it together. You know, you got to play better. This is what you got to do. Really? Really? Want me to come on the air sounding like Tony Robbins? You can do it. I know you suck tonight, but you can get it done tomorrow. Believe in yourself. Believe, believe, believe. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I'm talking sports. I'm talking the games. I'm not attacking athletes. I'm addressing the game. There's winners and there's losers. I talk about the winners every day that I talk about the losers. Somebody lost, somebody won. There's a reason somebody lost and a reason somebody won. It's very simple. It's very simple. And how do we know that? Because ain't that what you're doing? All of y'all out here with YouTube shows and podcast platforms and all of that, what are y'all doing? How are you sitting in judgment of me when you're doing it on your own podcast and shows? I'm not judging y'all. Looking at my team over here, do y'all see me doing a regular critique on Gil's Arena? Or It Is What It Is? Or Nightcap? Or the Pivot? Or anybody else? I'm not critiquing folks in what they do in this space. And I'm qualified to do it because I've been doing it for 30 plus years. I let y'all be y'all. And this notion that I'm coming after folks or whatever it is, no. What I meant when I said about Jaylen Brown and that you want me to get started reporting? Oh, Stephen A is threatening. You had some dude, I don't even want to mention his ass, okay? Because I do feel betrayed by him because he's in the industry talking about I sound like some mob, you know, mob king or whatever. What I'm saying is any of us who report, it's not just about us. It's who we know. It's other players. It's other coaches. It's other executives. It's other owners. It's other agents. We are suffocated with information about folks all the time. My point is, if you're complaining about something so minuscule, my point is, what if I really said some stuff? It's not a threat. I'm not going to do that. I'm simply making the point. It could be a lot worse. Me talking about you making a comment about this being your favorite season 2 years after winning a championship and a finals MVP, it's not the end of the world. Jaylen Brown could say what he wants to say. You're going to have to look in the mirror at some point and ask yourself, was that really necessary? All the brother said was, you're a champion and a finals MVP. Why the hell are you calling a season in which you got bounced out in the first round after giving up a 3-1 lead your favorite season? All of that because of that? That really makes sense to y'all. Come on, man. But like I said, that's all I got to say, because I got love for Rashad McCants and the whole Gil's Arena podcast crew. By the way, I've been blessed and fortunate to have achieved some of the things that I've achieved. Most people in my position, you never see them unless they're on camera doing their own thing. I've been a guest on y'all's show twice. I've been a guest on It Is What It Is. Yo, Mace, remember when I brought you and Cameron on to celebrate the fact that y'all were starting this podcast? that y'all started. That's there. Yeah, that's, y'all right there. I had y'all November 22nd, 2023. Because I got love for y'all. That doesn't mean you don't disagree with me. That doesn't mean you have to co-sign everything that I say, ladies and gentlemen. What it does mean is like, damn, why the inclination to, oh, Stephen A. is being negative. Oh, Stephen A. is going after the brothers or whatever. How y'all gonna know? How y'all gonna ignore all the brothers and sisters I support? How you gonna ignore the fact that I supported y'all? And I still do. That's the issue. Nothing else. But it's okay. Because I can take it. That's as it pertains to y'all. Kwame Brown is another matter entirely. Ladies and gentlemen, before I respond, naturally Kwame Brown had to jump into the mix. I haven't spoken about this brother in years. I try never to speak about him. I really, really do. But he keeps mentioning me. And this latest salvo he threw in my direction in the aftermath of the whole Jaylen Brown situation is this. Check it out.
I don't want to hear nothing about Kwame be crying, Kwame be doing this. I said this was Stephen A's job. I want you to pay attention to what he admits that he can do. This guy openly admitted, do you want me? This is supposed to be just a basketball journalist. He's just supposed to be reporting on the game. His job shouldn't be that significant, right? Stephen A is harmless. He's just focusing on X's and O's in basketball, the game he knows and loves that he couldn't play with a damn. But he says in this video, everything and how systematically he tear down players' contracts. And he's always a friend to white folk, but he's always aggressive towards black folk. Every time a black male athlete, a black person, period, says something to Stephen A, they're met with a threat on First Take. And then now he goes over to his own channel and do a whole segment on him. But Stephen A. Smith, how did you get so much power that you can get the team and everybody to go against Jaylen Brown? Shoe deals and everything like that.
Oh, my Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, my exasperation with Kwame Brown comes from one place. And I'm going to say something that I don't think I've ever said on public airwaves. Maybe I've said it once or twice before, I don't remember, but I know it's rare because I feel this. My exasperation comes from guilt. Kwame Brown hates me. He truly does. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. When Kwame Brown was playing, and I had to critique him, I swear to you on everything I love, I had no idea that it would be a meme that stretched through 18 years, at least. I had no idea. Had I known that, ladies and gentlemen, I would have never done it. It's hard for me because I feel guilty. But it's also hard for me because that guilt that I feel, under no circumstances was I lying. Ladies and gentlemen, he is absolutely right. According to NBA standards, I couldn't play worth a damn. I was a street baller. I got a basketball scholarship. I cracked my kneecap in half. It is what it is. I don't want y'all to choke or suffocate on your laughter when I ask this question. Is Kwame Brown somebody that needs to be talking about people who couldn't play? Are we serious here? Seriously? That's where we supposed to be going? Kwame Brown. I'm going to dial it back because I want to be nice. Right here on the camera, I'm going to say it again. Kwame Brown, I am sorry for whatever pain, agony, or emotional distress I have caused you. Never on my worst day do I want to be responsible for doing that to any human being. I never meant for that to happen. Never. And if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't go any further than where I just went. But we've all seen the videos. We've all seen the memes. We know where I stand when it comes to you and your playing ability. I never said anything else about Kwame Brown. But evidently, he is so hurt, so profoundly impacted by my words that he simply can't get enough of me. I understand. So we'll live in that truth and move forward with me addressing his points this way. Number one, I'm supposed to be a basketball journalist. False. I'm a journalist and a columnist and a pundit and a commentator, a best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author. And come September, I'm about to be inducted into the Broadcast Hall of Fame. That's who I am. Number one. Number two, you pointed out what I said about Jaylen Brown. What I did was address what Jaylen Brown was saying. You know, I'll shut up when you get off the air because you're not using your platform for what it's supposed to be used for. In other words, questioning whether or not I was responsible. What I'm saying is you can interpret it, Mace can interpret it, Rashad McCants can interpret it as a threat or anything that you want. I'm simply pointing out that if I didn't care and I just took the information that I've heard and that I've corroborated and put that out there, would I not be doing my job? The answer is yes, but I didn't do those things. So when one of my contemporaries tries to mention me as a mobster, that I'm coming across as a mobster, he knows better. You can, once you figure out who I'm talking about, you can gauge his motives. He should be ashamed of himself. But I'll leave it alone and let him hang out with his crew. And he knows that I know who they are. Okay? The point that I'm making is that it's not me being a mobster. It's me highlighting that we all, as reporters, have access to an abundance of information, whether it's through players, coaches, executives, owners, agents, or even other journalists. Y'all got a community of people y'all communicate with as players, past, present, and future. What makes you think journalists don't have that? You think I can't pick up the phone and call a beat writer that used to cover the Washington Wizards? You think I don't know who used to cover the team? Whether it's in Minnesota or Washington? You don't think I know coaches and executives and owners? You don't think that when I sat up there and I said that Daryl Morey needed to go as the president of basketball operations for the Philadelphia 76ers, and the damn thing happened 36 hours later? You didn't think I knew that was coming? How would I know? How many times do I have to tell you? Folks talk about the league. I cover it. I don't have to cover it as a beat writer the way that I used to. But when you've been around for 30 plus years in the same damn industry, you know people. You don't even have to seek information. They bring it to you. You think I'm talking out of turn about Jaylen Brown? Why wasn't he on Team USA? I was standing up saying he deserved it. I thought it was abhorrent that Team USA didn't put him on the team. How the hell could you not put him on the team, but put two people on the team? Not one, but two people on the team who spent 82 games a year during the regular season, plus the playoffs, deferring to him, and Derek White and Jrue Holiday. Those were my words. I have applauded and supported Jaylen Brown for years. I still support him. Even though he says, fuck Stephen A, B, and C, if Jaylen Brown picked up the phone and needed me, I'd be there. Needs me to come to one of his camps. Needs me to give a speech someplace. Needs to talk to me privately. Whatever it is, good. Where you need to see me at. I got nothing but love for Jaylen Brown. I disagreed with his position. 24 hours after he got eliminated. That does not make an enemy. That does not make a beef. We disagreed on that. That's it. He's not the first one to call me a clown. Kevin Durant called me a clown. Let Kevin Durant pick up the phone and say, Stephen A., I need you. I'd be right there. Yes, I was pissed about LeBron and how he did the shit that he did. I'm a grown-ass man. I'm over it. He got that foundation. Got those students in Akron he's helping out. He's got a host of things he needs. He does. If LeBron James needed me, I'd be there. Because you see, it's not just about what I get. It's about what I have to give, whatever that may be. Mace? You need me, bro? Happy to help. Rashad, you already know this. You come to me. You've spoken to me face to face. You know how much respect I have for you. You need a brother? It's a phone call away, bro. What's all this enemy stuff just because we disagree on issues? Don't let these sorry-ass trolls out here convince y'all that there's bigger beefs than what's really going on. It's a free world, a free country. Just because I disagree with you about something don't mean I dislike you. Kwame Brown, you're a different matter. But the vitriol and the hatred and the disgust and the insults and everything in between is a one-sided street, bro. You're 44 years of age. You've been out of the league for a long time. You're not in the league anymore. I don't talk about you. I did not think you reached your potential and achieved what you could have achieved in the NBA. But the manner in which I expressed myself, considering the world that we're living in and how it's been disseminated over social media, it comes across as cruel. I regret that. I apologize for that. There's nothing more I can do than that. You continue to hold on to your vitriol, you go ahead and you do that. Try to make something that ain't there for your own satisfaction. Can't even blame you. But my brother, all it shows is that you're still scarred and you never got over folks pointing out how much of a struggle it was for you to play basketball on an elite level in the elite league, that's the NBA. At least you were good enough to get there. I wish you nothing but the best, bro. But that hatred in your heart is a bit glaring and a bit flagrant. It hasn't worked for too many human beings in this world who held on to stuff like that. I don't know why in God's name it'll work for you. But you do you. Hope I clarify my points well enough. Thought I was respectful too. I wish y'all nothing but the best. Jaylen Brown is a disagreement, bro. Fuck Stephen A. B. C. Really? You think that's gonna faze me? I got love for you, bro. Great player, great talent. Great dude who does great things in the community and has done great things to help out a whole bunch of brothers along the way. I know who you are. I just don't think you should have said what you said 24 hours after losing in the first round. That's it. I stand on that. And I'm not budging on that. But that is not what an enemy makes. It is a simple disagreement. That's how grown-ups take it. I assume that's who I'm talking to now, grown-ups. Peace and love, everybody. Stephen A. signing off. Have a wonderful weekend. See y'all next week.